We offer our sincerest gratitude to our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us entrance into these extraordinary holy places. Dr. Gopinath is an ancient deity. Some very erudite Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars have searched out the origin of Tota Gopinath. Their conclusion is that when Krishna revealed the spiritual world to Lord Brahma, this deity was manifest. Brahmaji, in the presence of Tota Gopinath, composed Sri Brahma Samhita, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later found at the Adi Keshav temple in South India. When Gadadhar Pandit came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged for him to take the responsibility of serving Tota Gopinath. Tota means garden, because Gopinath is living in this beautiful garden that we are sitting in today. Performs his pastimes since time immemorial in this garden. He has been given the name Tota Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit is described in Sri Gauru Ganodash Deepika that same personality who was Krishna's eternal loving consort, Sri Vrindavan Eshwari, has incarnated in Gauranga's Leela as Gadadhar Pandit. He is Srimati Radharani. From the time of their early youth, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit were inseparable friends. Very opposite in many ways. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, as Nimai, was very naughty. In fact, when he was Nimai Pandit, he sometimes performed the leela of appearing quite proud to others, by defeating all opposition in philosophy and logic. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit was perfectly well behaved, always respectful to others, gentle and humble. Gadadhar Pandit, being the son of Madhava Mishra and Ratnavati, was always a dear devotee of Krishna. From his birth, he was constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna. His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj told that story where Lord Chaitanya was asking, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I saw him in Kanai Natashala, but then he disappeared. Where is Krishna?" Gadadhar Pandit was feeling so much deep concern for the Lord's heart. He said, "My Lord, please do not cry. Krishna is in your heart." Immediately, Gauranga began to rip open his chest. Gadadhar Pandit stopped him. "Krishna's just coming. Please be patient." At that time, Lord Chaitanya, he expressed to Gadadhar that throughout my life, I have wasted my time in the vain pursuit of mundane knowledge. But you, Gadadhar, from your childhood, you have always been the most devoted servant of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, would not give up the association of Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit could not give up the association of Lord Chaitanya. In his home was the worship of Shalagram Shila. Lord Chaitanya would pick up the Shila to do the puja, and in the mood of Shri Radharani touching the body of Lord Krishna, he became so ecstatic that torrents of tears poured from his eyes, soaking his clothes, his entire body. He would put down the Shila, take bath, come back into the puja room, pick up Shila. Again, the torrents of tears poured out as he was wailing in love for Krishna. Again and again and again, he attempted to worship Shalagram, but he couldn't even see. Finally, he entrusted the Shalagram Shila to Gadadhar Pandit. "You come here every day. I am not qualified to worship them." Yes, Gadadhar Pandit was serving as the pujari of Lord Chaitanya's own personal deities at home. And it was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who proclaimed to the devotees that, "I had a dream. Very soon, a great Vaishnav personality is coming to Navadvipa." He started crying out, "Pundarik, Pundarik." Pundarik Vidyanidhi came from Chattogram in East Bengal. And Mukunda Dutt is from that same village. He knew the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he said to Gadadhar Pandit, "I know that you love to associate with great Vaishnavas. Please come and I will bring you." Mukunda introduced Pundarik Vidyanidhi to Gadadhar Pandit. "This is the son of Madhava Mishra. His whole life he has been a very humble devotee of Krishna. This Gadadhar, he has never endeavored for sense gratification in all of his life." Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so pleased to see him. Gadadhar Pandit was the personification of renunciation. He had no inclination toward material possessions. He had absolutely no inclination toward sense gratification. He only wanted to serve the Lord and his devotees. And here was Pundarik Vidyanidhi sitting next to him on a magnificent bedstead covered with silk and embroidery. He was wearing luxurious garments. His hair was long and perfectly combed with scented oils. He was wearing jewelry of gold and jewels. two servants were continuously fanning him with chamara whisks. He was chewing spices and looking at himself in the mirror and smiling. Gadadhar Pandit, who was such a simple, humble brahmachari, was wondering in his mind, why has Mukunda brought me to this apparent materialistic person? Now, Mukunda Dutt understood Gadadhar Pandit's heart. He wanted to reveal the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So, he chanted a wonderful sloka, a prayer of Uddhava from the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna, the killer of Bakasura. How he was approached by Putana, a demoness Rakshasi, who came to murder him. And Krishna, so loving and kind, gave her the position of his own mother's nurse in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the spiritual world. Who is more merciful than Krishna? Who else could be my Lord than Krishna? When Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that, he became so much ecstatic. Tears poured from his eyes, his hair stood on end. He rolled uncontrollably. He ripped his clothes apart. The water vessels and the containers for spices and all these silken pillows were flying in all directions. 10 men tried to hold him down, but it was impossible. Finally, his ecstatic love came to such a crescendo that he entered into a state of total unconsciousness. Many hours went by till he finally opened his eyes. Gadadhar Pandit thanked Mukunda Dutt that you saved me from a great offense. I was considering this great Vaishnav to be an ordinary materialistic person. But now I wish to accept him as my spiritual master. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he was approached in this way, he exclaimed, only after many, many births can one gain a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. With the permission and blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on an auspicious day, Gadadhar was initiated. Gadadhar was one of the first persons that Lord Chaitanya expressed his conviction to take sannyas. In fact, Gadadhar Pandit went to Katwa with Lord Chaitanya and helped to perform the sannyas ceremony and came to Sri Jagannath Puri. Here at the Tota Gopinath Temple, Gadadhar Pandit absorbed himself in the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that there were 3 special personalities of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates who worshipped the Lord in their own particular way. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he worshipped the Lord by constantly being immersed in the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. What was the power of his Sankirtan? One beautiful example, which we love to cite, is given when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing through the streets of Puri as Swarup Damodar Goswami was chanting. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't know whether he was in the day or the night, whether he was going north, south, east, or west. He was completely oblivious to the material world. This was the power of Swarup Damodar Goswami's chanting of the holy names. More than anyone else, his chanting totally awakened Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love. In fact, in Gambira, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting the ecstasies of Radharani's love, Ramananda Rai was his constant associate, citing different scriptures, just according to Lord Chaitanya's inner feelings. And Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing Sankirtan, knowing exactly what to sing in perfect harmony with the Lord's particular emotions of love. On this particular day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so oblivious, was dancing in such a way that when he came to a deep, dark, dry well, he jumped in. That well had not been used for generations. The devotees of Puri understood. It went way, way, way down, and there was not even a drop of water in it. The devotees were weeping and crying, "What has happened to our Lord?" They ran to the well in tremendous anxiety. What condition they would find the Lord. When they looked down, they saw that the entire well was filled to the top with fresh, soft butter. Lord Chaitanya was laying in it, unconscious. Swarup Damodar Maharaj, constantly immersed in Nam Sankirtan. And then there was Paramananda Puri. His immersion was in meditation. In Krishna's Leela, he was Uddhava. Paramananda Puri, disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, was honored and worshipped by Lord Chaitanya here in Puri. In fact, Paramananda Puri, 24 hours a day, was meditating on the holy names, the qualities, the attributes, and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He was the personification of Smaranam, total remembrance. And then there is Gadadhar Pandit. His absorption was in hearing and chanting the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyas compiled the vast treasure of Vedic literatures, but was not satisfied until his guru, Narada Muni, instructed him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. The Paramhamsa Samhita. Our acharyas explain Sri is a name for Srimati Radharani. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literature amongst all Vedas which perfectly extols the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani without even directly saying her name once. Gadadhar Pandit, Vrindavaneshwari herself, resided here, Tota Gopinath, immersed in every sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a daily routine. He would rise in the morning early and bathe in the sea, then spend several hours standing before Jagannath, behind the Garuda Stamba. From there, he would go to Haridas Thakur's Siddha Bakula and spend 2 or 3 hours discussing Krishna with him. Then he would take his noon bath and see and have prasad. And every day in the afternoon, he would come to Tota Gopinath, to this very garden that we are sitting. And here he would spend 2 or 3 hours discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. Primarily, he would absorb himself in hearing Gadadhar Pandit sing the sweet slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam and explain his realizations. As Chandramali Maharaj explained, when Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam together, as they would read the verses, torrents of tears would pour from both of their eyes, and the confluence of the tears of Gauranga and Gadadhar flooded the ink of the Bhagavatam and made it practically impossible to read. In this sense, we understand in a deeper way the great contribution that Srila Prabhupada offered to the world. It was what he called his life's work to translate and give commentaries perfectly according to the great acharyas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada and our beloved acharyas consider it the most important of all scriptures. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if there was a dissolution in this world and all the books of all the libraries in the entire world were destroyed, but Srimad Bhagavatam remained, there would be no loss. Because everything is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, to prepare for his journey to the Western world, lived in those simple rooms of Radha Damodar Temple. His constant meditation were compiling those purports for the first canto. He spent years, day and night, absorbed to give us Srimad Bhagavatam. One saintly person told me he was hosting Srila Prabhupada at his ashram once. Srila Prabhupada was so deeply immersed in Bhagavatam, day and night and all day, they would just put his prasad at the door outside and knock. And sometimes hours would go by before Prabhupada would even take it. Srila Prabhupada was not only absorbed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was deeply absorbed in that spirit of compassion of presenting it in such a way that the whole world could receive it. When he completed the first canto in 3 volumes, he considered, now I am prepared to travel to the West on my Guru Maharaj's order. As soon as he finished the first canto, he considered, now I am prepared for the journey that he prepared his whole life. As far as his personal possessions, He only had a little bag with some cereal, a change of clothes, his Joppa beads, and an umbrella. But on the ship, he had huge crates, wooden crates of Srimad Bhagavatams. Recently, we had this wonderful festival in Butler, Pennsylvania. Did all of you hear about that? When Srila Prabhupada came off Jaladuta, he told Brahmananda Maharaj that I walked off the plank of the cargo ship and started walking. There was nobody there for him. He said, I did not know whether I should walk forward or go to the right or go to the left. He's at the dockyards in New York City, strange foreign land. But Prabhupada said, I was perfectly confident because I knew I had my Srimad Bhagavatams. And wherever he went, he was trying to induce people to take these Srimad Bhagavatams. He sold copy to Captain Pandya, yes, on the ship. Somebody from Traveler's Aid was sent to bring him to Butler, Pennsylvania, where his hosts were waiting for him. Prabhupada spent over 1 month there in 1965, the first place that he preached in America. Srila Prabhupada explained that when he was in Vrindavan, he would sometimes go to Agra to meet one of his friends, whose name was Mathura Prasad Agarwal. And one day, Mr. Agarwal was revealing his mind to Srila Prabhupada that my son is lost. He went to America to get a materialistic education as an engineer. Now, this is very different. Most parents that I know are longing for their children to get accepted by a college in America to become an engineer. But he was saying he was lost. And while he was there, he was trapped by an American woman and married her. Srila Prabhupada, he was always meditating on the mission of his Guru Maharaj. When Prabhupada heard that, he said, oh, your son married an American lady? Maybe they can send an invitation so I can go to the West to preach. That is my Guru Maharaj's order. Mathura Prasad Agarwal did not say a word in reply. And there was never a discussion on the subject ever again. But some months later, Srila Prabhupada gets a message that an invitation has come for you from the American embassy that you can go to America. Signed by Sally Agarwal. So Prabhupada had his way. And with Sumati Maharaj's kindness, he took Jaladuta. And here he was in Butler, Pennsylvania. So we had a festival just last month. And the special guests were Sally Agarwal and her husband Gopal. They don't live in Butler, Pennsylvania anymore. They moved to Ohio, a different state. But they came on the invitation of the devotees and spoke. She spoke many incredible things. Please listen to that tape recording when you have time. Even if you don't have time, make time. It's very sweet. Because Sali Agarwal was a Christian lady, and she never converted, but she just loved Prabhupada so much. At the beginning, she didn't know what to do with him. She spoke in her little talk that Gopal's father had been regularly sending names and biodata of people for them to invite to America. Because in India, so many people want to go to America in those days. Out of dozens of invitations that they sent, nobody ever came. And they knew that this was just his father's fantasy. Nobody will ever come. But she explained that one day a letter came from Srila Prabhupada. He wrote the letter just as he was boarding the Jaladuta and sent it from Calcutta. Now in those days, mail took about a month from India to America. So when she got the letter, Prabhupada was arriving in New York at the same time. She was shocked with fear and apprehension. She called her husband Gopal, who was at work, and said, "Gopal, Gopal, I can't believe it. He's coming. He's coming. He's actually coming. And you should see what he looks like." Have you ever seen that pamphlet Prabhupada, he printed in India? It was something like The Message for World Peace. And there's a photo of Srila Prabhupada on the front cover. He looks very grave. Shaved head, no shirt, just a sannyasi cloth around his shoulder, and he looks really serious. He said, "I'm sending you this so that when I walk off the boat, you will know who I am." She said, "You should see what he looks like. He's coming. He's coming." So they couldn't go to New York. It's a long way. So they hired someone from Traveler's Aid to put him in a bus and ship him to Butler, Pennsylvania. And Gopal arrived early in the morning. I think something 2-3 in the morning. Prabhupada's bus came to the Pittsburgh bus station. And he drove him to Butler. And, you know, they were a husband and wife with two little tiny children. What to do with this Swamiji? They had no time to make any preparations. So he slept on the couch in the living room. And they were in their bedrooms. And they didn't know anything about the etiquette of a sannyasi. They were both eating meat. Cooking meat. Having meat in refrigerator. And they didn't know what they were supposed to do, what they weren't not supposed to do. But Srila Prabhupada, Sali Agarwal explained, was so kind. They would say, one day she said, "We're sorry, but you know, we eat meat. We're conditioned to this." Prabhupada said, no, that's all right. You just do whatever you do." The kind of music they would sometimes play, Prabhupada would say, no, it's all right. You just do whatever you do." He was so patient, so tolerant, so forgiving. She said, not for one second did Prabhupada ever make them feel that he was inconveniencing them, or that he was inconvenienced by them. so gracious. They fell in love with him. And the culture shock. One day she was vacuuming her rug, and Prabhupada was amazed, studying the vacuum cleaner. They spoke long time about the science of vacuum cleaners. Prabhupada never saw anything like this. You just press a button and all the dirt in the floor is sucked in. Prabhupada was studying American life, American psychology. And he was very eager to preach. So every night they had like a festival. They would invite different friends from Pittsburgh, and they would invite different groups to come to their house just to have the Swami speak. But he was so strange looking. Butler, Pennsylvania is a small conservative town in the Appalachian Mountains. When they saw Prabhupada, the way he dressed, the way he was, they were afraid he would totally shock the whole city. They were afraid they were going to get in trouble. So that's why she called all the newspapers to have an article about him so that people would be prepared when they saw him. And then some weeks later, the shipment by truck came to Sally Agarwal's house with the books. Now, they just had a small apartment and these big boxes of books. Srimad Bhagavatams came. And somehow or other, they stored them. It took up a major part of their house. But then after Srila Prabhupada moved to New York City, actually it's very interesting. Before he moved to New York City, he went to speak at Slippery Rock State College, Professor Larson, and convinced Professor Larson to buy a set of the books and to put a set of books in the library, Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Prabhupada was bathing three times a day, they were wondering, when he goes to New York, how is he going to do this? So Gopal Agarwal put some coins in a bag and gave it to Srila Prabhupada, because in the bus stations, by putting some coins in a machine, you can take showers. When he arrived in New York City, Sally Agarwal and Gopal decided to move to another place. And in their new house, there was no space for the books. So Sally Agarwal, who was Prabhupada's sponsor to be in America, because Gopal wasn't a citizen at the time, she wrote to Prabhupada and said, please take these books. We have nowhere to keep them. And ultimately, with great effort, Srila Prabhupada found a place in New York City to store his big crates of Srimad Bhagavatams. So it was not easy for Srila Prabhupada to be traveling around with no home, nothing, with these giant crates of Bhagavatams. But this was Srila Prabhupada's faith. Srila Prabhupada told that everything that there is to be known for a devotee to become perfectly self-realized and go back to Godhead is contained within the first three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had total faith. Even if he didn't live to translate another word in this first canto with the purports, Srila Prabhupada said, I have put everything that is required. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir. The way to actually understand the Vedic literatures is not by academic study. not by memorization of verses or pastimes. But the real essence of the Vedas are revealed for one who has implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada told us this. Everything is within the translations and commentaries of the first canto. And this is how the Hare Krishna movement exploded in the Western world. The devotees had no other literature than that. Young, inexperienced boys and girls, Prabhupada called them, sometimes in their teens or early 20s, who never even heard about Krishna 6 months before, were going to American and European cities and starting centers, performing Nam Sankirtan in the streets, and recruiting more people to surrender their lives to Krishna than are being made in the Western world even today. It was an explosion. Hundreds and hundreds of people were giving their lives to following Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan mission, and these devotees were brand new. At the most, they were 1 or 2 years following Krishna consciousness. And the only book they had was the first canto. Yes. Srila Prabhupada has given us everything in that first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shortly after that, as he was translating beyond, he gave us Krishna Book, a summary study of 10th canto. So it is not that we have to be so curious and fascinated by many, many higher subjects. That is all right. But that is not what is going to transport us to the spiritual world. What is going to transport us to the spiritual world is Krishna's grace. Krishna's mercy comes yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. When we please our spiritual master. When we have implicit faith in the words of our spiritual master. For those who are coming in the line of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our way of going to the spiritual world is not just fantastic learning or fantastic speaking. Our way to the spiritual world is to have implicit faith in what He has given us. Everything else is an expansion of that. But the core of the essence of our spiritual lives is faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. And is specifically in his commentaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the origin of that? We find it right here at Tota Gopinath Temple. Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani, day and night absorbed in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, who has stolen the love of Gadadhar Pandit so he could taste it personally. Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, tasting the sweetness of her love. Together they sat in this garden for 2 to 3 hours minimum every single day, absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. and how Lord Chaitanya tasted this nectar. Sometimes we're always looking for something new. But if we actually have devotion, everything is ever new. If we're dissatisfied with what we already have and we're looking for something new, that is a sign to you that you are a neophyte devotee who is not tasting the substance of bhakti. Because if we're tasting Krishna consciousness, then every time we read a verse of the acharyas, every time we read a passage of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is new, it is fresh. It is never, as Prabhupada said, hackneyed or old. Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya, when they would sit here, how they relished. It is an example for all of us. Gadadhar Pandit would recite the story of Dhruva Maharaj from the fourth canto. And Lord Chaitanya would say, after the entire story, many chapters, Lord Chaitanya would say it again. Lord Chaitanya would not allow Gadadhar Pandit to proceed beyond the fourth canto of Dhruva's story until Gadadhar Pandit recited that story 100 times. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat says when he recited the story of Prahlad Maharaj, which in Prabhupada's translations and purports, it's an entire volume. He would recite it, they would discuss it, and when it would finally conclude, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speak it again. 100 times before they continued on. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, who has come to give the highest love of the gopis in the spiritual world to even the most fallen people in this world, took the role of his own devotee to teach us how we are supposed to make spiritual progress. And this is the way. Yes, we must absorb ourselves in the holy name. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught us to absorb ourselves in Srimad Bhagavatam in this way. Do not take a single word as something ordinary. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told that if you can understand clearly even one word of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will become a pure devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. That is the power of this scripture. It is the special scripture which reveals the supreme glories of Srimati Radharani and the gopis' love for Krishna. And every verse is saturated with that mercy. For all of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the temple of Tota Gopinath especially represents to our hearts the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam as revealed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his loving relation with Gadadhar Pandit. We are sitting in one of the most intimate, loving meeting places of the Lord and his devotees. Chandramali Swami Maharaj described Srinivasacharya coming here specifically to learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. A little elaboration on that is Srinivas, His whole life he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. Finally, he grew up enough to travel all the way from Jajigram area in Bengal to Puri. It's a long distance. His only aspiration in life was to meet Lord Chaitanya and surrender to his lotus feet. But right when he came to the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, he saw some pilgrims coming out weeping. And they were speaking amongst each other that Lord Chaitanya had disappeared from the world. Srinivas Acharya fell to the ground unconscious. They started pulling his hair out, weeping tears. Everything he lived for, everything he aspired for, was gone. He committed himself to enter into fire. There was absolutely no reason for him to go on breathing. But then by the Lord's mercy, he again fell unconscious. Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and told him, go to the Tota Gopinath temple and study Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, he was seen by devotees in three different places simultaneously. He was seen entering into the ocean. He was also observed entering into the body of Lord Jagannath. And also, as Chandramali Swami Maharaj explained, he merged into the form of Tota Gopinath. In this very, very sacred place, let us pray. Pray for that love that the Panchatantra came to distribute to the world. When Krishna appeared in the Dwapar Yuga, the ecstatic sweetness of the love of Vrindavan was revealed. But it was kept sealed and only accessible to the highest, purest Paramahamsas. But the Panchatattva, who is Radha and Krishna with their most loving associates, they have come to break the seal of the treasure house of ecstatic love of God in the mood of gopis. To break open that chest and distribute the contents profusely to the whole world without considering who is fit or who is unfit. And the vehicle in which the Panchatattva distributed the love of Vrindavan is through Harinam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. Sri Gadadhar Pandit also left this world by entering into the Murti of Tota Gopinath. So the devotees understand that Tota Gopinath is a deity in which Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are personally present and bestowing their transcendental mercy. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how Gadadhar Pandit, although so humble, he had many great disciples, such as Bhugarbha Goswami, who was one of the first of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to go to Vrindavan. Anantacharya, the spiritual master of Haridas Pandit, who was one of the main devotees to inspire Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just close to this place is a holy spot that is especially sacred to our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Chatak Parvat. This pastime is described in beautiful detail by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Shall I speak something? Lord Chaitanya, one day, was on his way to the sea to take his bath. Suddenly he saw a large sand dune named Chatak Parvat. In his ecstasies of love of God, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the sand dune to be Govardhan Hill. He ran to the sand dune as fast as the wind, reciting that beautiful sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, that of all devotees of Krishna, Govardhan Hill is the best. Because Govardhan Hill is giving the greatest pleasure to Krishna Balaram and all of their associates, the cows and the gopas, by providing clear waters that taste like nectar, soft, fresh grasses, cool, bejeweled caves, and rocks that are warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immersed in seeing Govardhan Hill, ran like the wind. The devotees, when they saw him running in this way, they didn't know what to do. Govinda called out, and all the other devotees who were present ran after the Lord. There was Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati. They were very elderly. Even they were running to try to catch the Lord. And then there was Bhagavan Acharya, who was an invalid. He was somehow or other just limping along, trying to catch up to the Lord. But nobody could catch the Lord. He was running so fast. There was a great uproar amongst the devotees to try to catch him, because they didn't know, in this mood, they had never seen him. They didn't know what he was going to do. Suddenly, the Lord became stunned in ecstasy, like a pillar, motionless. Torrents of tears poured from his eyes, like the Ganges and the Jamuna, soaking his body. His body erupted with large bumps. His hair stood up like the fibers of a kadamba flower. He was perspiring profusely with a mixture of perspiration and blood from every pore of his body. His entire body was shaking like the waves of the sea. His complexion became pale white like a conch shell. And from his voice, there was choking sound of cha-cha-ka-ka, cha-cha-ka-ka. All the eight symptoms of transcendental ecstasy manifested in the Lord's body. And suddenly, he fell to the ground unconscious. The devotees caught up with him. Govinda started to fan him. his body, which was in this state of very, very extraordinary devotional symptoms, was covered with sand. They washed his body with the water from the sea. They gathered around him, loudly chanting the holy names. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed no symptoms of life. He did not respond. The devotees gathered in a circle around him, and with all the power of their voices, they loudly screamed in his ears the holy names of Krishna. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya opened his eyes and said, "Harivo." And he didn't see the devotees. He was looking around in all directions, looking for something, not knowing where he was, looking lost. Then he saw Swarup Damodar Goswami. He asked, "Who has brought me here from Govardhan Hill? Today, I went to Govardhan Hill to see if I could see Krishna herding his cows there. And I did. There was Gopal. He was climbing Govardhan Hill, playing on his flute, surrounded on all sides by cows grazing in the fresh grasses." Hearing the sound of the flute, Srimati Radharani and her gopis, they came and met Krishna on Govardhan Hill. Radha and Krishna together entered into a cave. And the gopis gave me a service. The gopis asked me to pick flowers to make garlands for Radha and Krishna. And as I was enjoying the pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Govardhan Hill, I suddenly heard this tumultuous sound. "Why have you brought me here? Why have you taken me out of Vrindavan? You have caused unbearable pain to my heart. I was just about to see the pastimes of the Lord when you have taken me away from there." Speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collapsed to the ground, crying incessantly. All the devotees, seeing the Lord's condition, could only weep with him. Just then, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati arrived. And being the Lord's guru's godbrothers, Lord Chaitanya came out from his partially external consciousness to his full external consciousness to offer respects to these great souls. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati embraced him. Lord Chaitanya asked them, "Why have you come all this way, so far, on the seashore?" Paramananda Puri smiled and replied, "We have come just to see you dancing." Lord Chaitanya felt very much ashamed. They all went together to bathe in the sea, returned to the Gambira, where Lord Chaitanya arranged Jagannath's Mahaprasad to be distributed to all the assembled devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami offers a beautiful prayer, meditating on this beautiful sight of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. manifesting the highest symptoms of divine love as he was running to Govardhan Hill, which manifested in truth in Jagannath Puri as Chatak Parvat. In honor of this most glorious narration, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a Gaudiya Math at Chatak Parvat. In fact, he was living here in Jagannath Puri at this Purushottam Math, Chatak Parvat Math, and it was here that he lectured on the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it was here at Chatak Parvat that he went into the ecstatic state of separation, which was the beginning of the Leela of his leaving this material world. From Chatak Parvat, they brought Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on train to Calcutta, because it was there that he desired to depart from the world. And at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, he gave up his life to return to the eternal pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. So for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's descendants, this Chatak Parvat is a very, very sacred and holy place. We will be visiting there in just a few moments. Just beside Tota Gopinath Temple is the Yameshwara Tota, the garden of Lord Shiva, who was worshipped by Yamaraj. If you remember the first day of the yatra, for those of you who were awake for the class we tried to give, Markandeya Rishi came and he worshipped Lord Shiva. That is just a few minutes away at Markandeya Srovar, where Markandeshwara Mahadev is. And Yamaraj, seeing Markandeya Rishi worship, hearing about that, he also worshipped Lord Shiva here in the Yameshwar Tota. So at this time, before going in our procession to these holy places, let us offer this prayer. Prayer that by the grace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he may grant upon us implicit faith in the words of our spiritual master, our founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Faith in his words and complete dedication to assisting in whatever way we are able to do so in his glorious mission of distributing the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. And let us pray here at the lotus feet of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, that following in his most holy footprints, we can relinquish all distractions from the path of pure devotional service. Gadadhar Pandit was the embodiment of detachment, and the essence of detachment is humility. humility in its true form is no false pride, no separate interest than the pleasure of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that such humility alone can attract the Lord. Let us pray for that humility. And let us beg for even a drop of that love that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring to this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart is an ocean, unlimited, fathomless ocean of love. And one drop of that ocean from his heart can totally drown the entire universal creation. And it is that love that our beloved Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada came to give us. Yes, today let us beg that we can strive in our lives to be fit to receive just one particle of that drop of prema, so that we can be instruments of that love within our lives. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramayi ki jai. Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki jai.